We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Warning, the following sermon bumper video makes no sense. Hopefully, the sermon will. I love you. I love you.
Welcome to Redemption Church. I'm glad to see you all in the house of God today. My name is Marshall Blessing. I'm the care pastor here, and I come up with very strange ideas for intro videos so that you can be concerned about them and have something to talk to me about later when you're concerned. I'm the care pastor. I'm the person you should call. That's not true. Chris was really worried about this video. He put the disclaimer on the front. Hopefully, by the end of my sermon today, it will make sense. It makes sense to me. So either by the end, it'll make sense to you, or you'll realize that something's wrong with the care pastor. I want to talk to you today about how people view the church. All right? I want to talk about how Christians view their relationship with Jesus. But to start off with, let me not get ahead of myself, I'd like to wish you a happy St. Patrick's Day. Right. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. In honor of St. Patrick's Day, I'd like to start by reading a prayer written by St. Patrick. St. Patrick was a real guy. He lived around the year 400 AD. He is the patron saint of Ireland. He is credited with going there and converting Ireland to Christianity. He was a real guy. He was a very Christian man, a very pious man. And there's a well-known prayer that's attributed to him. It's called the Breastplate of St. Patrick. It's kind of long, so I won't read the whole thing, but I'm going to read a portion, and then there's a portion on the screen. When I point to you, we'll read this part together, okay? It starts off like this. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three. I bind this day to me forever by power of faith Christ's incarnation, his baptism in the Jordan River, his death on cross for my salvation, his bursting from the spiced tomb, his riding up the heavenly way, his coming at the day of doom, I bind unto myself today. I bind unto myself today the power of God to hold and lead, his eye to watch, his might to stay, his ear to hearken to my need, the wisdom of my God to teach, his hand to guide, his shield to ward, the word of God to give me speech, his heavenly host to be my guard. All right, everybody ready? Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. And it concludes like this. I bind unto myself the name, the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three, of whom all nature hath creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word, praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's a beautiful poem. That's a beautiful prayer. For us that know Jesus, we can hear in that a beautiful communion with God, reaching out to Christ. But to those who don't know Christ, or who don't have as deep a relationship with Him, it might start to sound a little bit weird. Maybe sort of like the video. There's a lot of Christ in that. Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ above me, Christ everywhere. But this is just a prayer. It was written by a very pious Christian man, but it's not from the Bible. So maybe he was just a little overly attached. So instead, let's take a look at what the Bible says. There's lots of verses about Christ with us and in us and around us in the Bible. The whole book's about Him.
Yes.
So I went through and did a quick search of the ones that really are topical and pertinent to this subject. And when I typed them all out in little font, I got over 2 pages worth. So what I'd like to do now is read a couple of them out of context. Imagine you don't know Jesus. What picture of Christianity would you start to get from these verses? Let's start with our memory verse. It ends, Colossians verse, chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, the end of our memory verse goes, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." Amen?
Amen.
Well, last week I talked about how we have Jesus' life in us. He died to give us His life. We have His life. His life is what animates us. A similar thing is mentioned in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Amen?
Yes.
The Bible describes Him as the light that enlightens all men. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. "For God, who said, 'Let the light shine out of the darkness,' made His light," that's Jesus, "shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." So God made His light shine in us. We have His light in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." So, we have Jesus' life in us. We have the light of God in us, which is Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Stick with me. Again, we're trying to get sort of outside of ourselves. How would somebody who doesn't know the church hear all of these passages? What's more, the Bible talks about having the mind of Christ. That's in our memory verse as well. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. "The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So, that sounds like we're supposed to think like Jesus. Okay, so we got His Spirit, we got His life in us, we're supposed to have His mind. Last week I talked about how the communion elements are His body and His blood, we eat those and they become a part of us. Jesus physically becomes a part of us. That's a big part of church. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to them God has chosen to make everything known among the Gentiles, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We literally have Christ in us. God's everywhere. It makes sense that if he's everywhere else, he has to be in us too. So Christ is in us. We have the mind of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. Christ is in us. Jesus is part of us. But then it says in John chapter 15, verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So we have Jesus Christ in us, but we're also supposed to remain in him. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So, all right, is it starting to get confusing? We have Christ in us, but we also put on Christ. We clothe ourselves in Christ. We are in Christ. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So, we take off our old self and we put on Christ, and Christ is still all in all. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's a familiar verse, right? Well, let's take a look at the next one. Verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So we're going to put on Christ and be conformed to the image of Christ. All right? Okay, are you starting to feel a little overwhelmed? We know that God's love is overwhelming. We know Christ. We know what these verses are getting at. But to people who don't know Christ, it can start to sound more like that video. Out of context, these verses seem to be saying that Jesus just wants to make clones of himself. We are to have his life in us and his spirit. We are to think like him. And we clothe ourselves in him until our old self passes away and we are fully conformed to his image. If I didn't know Jesus, that would start to sound kind of crazy. But it goes on. There are several verses that talk about how the church is the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 17. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And let us not forget, the church was built by Jesus. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. and the church was built on Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. All throughout the Bible, it talks about how Jesus was the stone which the builders rejected that has now become the chief cornerstone. And, of course, the church was built for Jesus. Throughout the Bible, it talks about how the church is the bride of Christ. To be honest with you, those verses are a little bit weird for me. As a guy, I have to be married to Jesus? What is that talking about? So, the church was built on Jesus. It is built by Jesus. It's built for Jesus. The church is Jesus in that it is the body of Christ. We're becoming Jesus. Our fellow Christians are becoming Jesus. And we're all part of Jesus.
All right.
Even people who don't know Christ should be Jesus to us. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So, let me see if I got this straight. I'm sorry to hit you with so much scripture here at the beginning of this sermon. But we're all destined to become copies of Jesus, surrounded by other Jesuses, as part of a church full of Jesuses, which is itself Jesus. Okay.
Excellent.
Well, that's my sermon. Have a good afternoon. All right. Not really. But can you see how that might make people a little bit nervous?
Yeah. All right.
Even if you think Jesus was a nice guy, if you're told that to follow him means you have to completely surrender your identity, you stop being you and just become Jesus, that's going to be a tough sell. I think in pictures. In a way, it's kind of like this picture. So, it starts out like this, and it turns into this. This picture's funny. I like memes like this on the internet. But when we're talking about our salvation, our eternal soul, it's not so funny. I love Jesus, but I don't want to stop being me. So why am I telling you this? This is an inaccurate picture of Christianity. Let me say that again. This is an incorrect, inaccurate picture of Christianity. But this is a picture that some people have been given. A little information is a dangerous thing. And the devil is the master of using a little truth to lead people astray. As you share your faith with people, you might encounter people who have this idea of what the church is all about. And you have to counteract this false notion. Some of you might be under the impression that this actually is the end game of Christianity. That's where it's all headed. You know God loves you and that Jesus died to save you, but verses like the ones that I've mentioned have always maybe made you a little bit uncomfortable, so you try not to think about it. Well, if I may, I want to spend a little time unpacking some of these verses to help us all to be more comfortable with it, to see what God wants from us and who we are to be in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's start with the church as the body of Christ. Yes, and amen, it was built by Jesus. There is no way it could have flourished and survived as it has and grown from 11 disciples to the biggest religion in the world today. It was built by Jesus Christ, and he is the foundation. Jesus Christ is the Word. We are founded on the Word of God. We are founded on him, Jesus Christ, and it was built for him, but also for us, because he loves us. That's what it's talking about when it says the church is the bride of Christ. That's a metaphor. to represent Jesus' relationship to the church, especially back in his day. A groom would pay a price for a bride, and then he'd go and prepare a place for her, and then he would go to take his bride to be with him in that place, and it would be a time of celebration. That's Jesus. Jesus paid an incredible price for us, each and every one of us. And now he has gone to prepare a place for us. And amen, he is coming back to take us to be with him. And it will be the biggest celebration you have ever seen. It will be a glorious day. It's not talking about us individually having to marry Jesus. Jesus, that's a metaphor for how he loves the church. He loves you. We can, in the church, we can be Christ to one another. The church is a community. That's how it's a body. We're all members of this body. We all work together and play different roles. And we can be Christ to one another. We can all minister to one another. At different times, we can pray with one another and pray for one another. Pray for healing. Pray and rejoice over the things that God has done for us. Jesus' body is no longer physically here in this world. He ascended to heaven. But we are the hands and feet to do God's work in his world today. In that way, we are the body of Christ to go out and minister to people, to minister to each other, to weep with those who weep, and to rejoice with those who rejoice. That's us. That's how we are the body of Christ. God is love. Amen? Are you with me on that? God is love. Everything Jesus did was out of love for us. Jesus came to be with us. That's why he's called Emmanuel, God with us. We can show our love for him by showing love to others whom he also loves in and outside of the church. That's what it's talking about when it says, as you do unto the least of these, so you do unto me. As we show love to people, we're loving people that God loves. We're showing love back to him. Jesus wants to be near us. He is here today. Amen? Absolutely. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he will be there also. He is very much here today. He is available to us. In a little while, not yet, but in a while, these altars are going to be open and we can come and talk to our God. That is an amazing opportunity. Don't let that pass you by. Jesus is available to you today, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you want to thank him for, whatever you want to talk to him about. Jesus is here for you today. He loves you. And we can come and talk to him here today. Amen. That is amazing. That is incredible love that the God of the universe would come and be available to you to hear what you want to talk to him about. He wants us to take him with us as we go about our daily lives. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. This is what it means to have Christ in you. To let him dwell richly in you. Jesus Christ is the word. Let his word dwell in you. Have him on your mind. Have a mind that relates everything back to him. That's what it's talking about when it says to have the mind of Christ. He wants to be with you. He wants to be near you always. He wants you to be able to reach out to him at any time. And when you encounter people that need him, that you can introduce them to him. He wants to be with you, and he wants to take you with him. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. that we are on Christ's heart, and as Christ is seated in the heavenly realms, we're there with Him. He loves us. He loves us. And so it's not just a one-way thing that we have Christ with us. He has us with Him. John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. That's what he's talking about when he says, remain in me. Remain in his love. Remember all that he's done for you. Relate everything back to him, to showing love back to him. If we go back to our memory verse, it's from Colossians chapter 3. But if we read a couple verses later, starting with verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's clothing yourself in Christ. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has any grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's how we can be Christ to one another. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's what it's talking about. When it talks about remaining in Christ and him remaining in us, that I couldn't summarize it more perfectly than that. But what about being conformed to the image of Christ? I get that we have Christ in us and we put on Christ. I got those. But conformed to the image of Christ, what is that talking about? Well, it's like popcorn, right? Oh, okay, let me explain a little bit. We're all unique. God knows each of us individually, right down to the number of hairs on each of our heads. Amen? Amen. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. The psalmist says to God, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." God loves you as an individual. God loves what makes you unique. You know what else is unique? Popcorn. Every unpopped kernel is unique. They're all distinct. They're all very similar, but each one is different from all the others. And they all have potential. Every unpopped kernel has the potential to be something greater. It's got something inside of it that wants to come out. Jesus became an unpopped kernel that he could become the first popped kernel. All right? Stick with me. He was the first person to live up to the potential that all humans have inside of them. What shape is popcorn? It's popcorn shaped. Exactly. Thank you, Chris. It doesn't have a distinct shape. They're all weird and different. But when someone says, picture popcorn, picture a piece of popcorn, you can easily picture what it's talking about. In the same way, Our lives are to become Jesus-shaped. There is no one shape. It doesn't mean you have to look like Jesus or like pictures of Jesus where you have to grow out a beard or anything like that. Wear a robe. Our lives should become Jesus-shaped. We will not become exactly like him, but he will be clearly recognizable in us. When people see our lives and see the way we live, they'll be like, oh man, that reminds me of something. That's like Jesus. That's Jesus-shaped. The things that make each unpopped kernel unique influence the shape of the popped kernel. The things that make you an individual will still be present and will influence who you will be when you are like Jesus. John chapter 15, verses 13 through 15. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus called us his friends. He doesn't want to wipe out what makes us us. He loves us. He's our friend. In fact, he wants to take away the things that hold us back from being all that we can be. Ties to this world, temptations, greed, bitterness, hatred, resentment, unforgiveness. These things are not who you are. They are not a part of you. Jesus wants to take those away and let you be more of yourself. As we become more like Jesus, we are all more free to be who we really are. So, that's what Jesus is calling us to. Let me tell you about me. I grew up in church. I knew about Jesus since I was very young. And if I'm not preaching to anyone else today, I'm preaching to myself. Because when I was much younger, I didn't understand these verses. Because I didn't really know Jesus. Even as far back as when I first came to Texas, which was only like 7 years ago, I was totally an engineer. That's who I was. I was very analytically minded. I had things figured out. And from my understanding of Christianity, my responsibility was to take care of myself. There was nobody else who was going to take care of me. I had to plan it out. I had to have everything in order. And there was the only person I could depend on was myself. Well, as I've gotten to know Jesus Christ, there was a lot of pride there. There was a lot of things there that weren't really part of me, that were holding me back from who Jesus is calling me to be. The thought that I can take care of myself forever. I can do everything. I can handle it all. I got this. I don't need anybody else. I don't need Jesus. That wasn't a part of me. I tell you the truth, I'm really glad I'm not the same person that I was even 7 years ago. By getting to know Jesus and what he wants to do in my life, he's taken a lot of these things off of me. I've had to come and admit I can't handle it all. Jesus, there's some stuff you got to take care of. I was very self-focused because I had to depend on myself. I had to take care of myself. That didn't leave a lot of time for anybody outside. But as I've gotten to know him more, that's opened up my vision. In a way, I've become more like Jesus in that I can see other people and love them and let them be a part of my life. And Jesus has brought all of you into my life. Jesus has brought wonderful people into my life and made them a part of my life. My wife is an excellent example. Man, it's tough sometimes because I want to think, okay, I can take care of myself and her. I can do this. But Lord, I can't handle everything. I need people in my life to do some of the things that I can't. I needed a little bit of humility there. And that's just one thing that Jesus has done in my life. Jesus takes away the things that are holding us back, and he will replace it with blessings that we don't even expect. As we reach out to him and are conformed to his image and become more like him, Jesus will pour into your life new things. I came to Texas as an engineer. And an engineer can figure things out and focus and get things done. Jesus called me to be a pastor. A pastor cares for other people. And a pastor can't always get things done himself. A pastor depends on other people. Well, I couldn't do this if I was the same person I was 7 years ago. And being here with you is such a blessing. I came to Texas as an engineer, but right now, being the care pastor for all of you is the most important thing that I'm doing right now. And I thank God for it. So, we're about to open these altars. What does God want to do in your life? Who are you becoming in Christ? You're becoming you, but what does that look like? We don't become popcorn overnight. That's where my metaphor breaks down. It's a slow process. There is some sudden violent explosions when we accept, when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we accept Christ, boom! That can be a major change in your life. But the process of becoming like Christ takes more than a lifetime. It's a process. We have to work. I am still far from it. But I'm working every day to try and be a little bit more like Jesus. Jesus will return, and in a flash, boom, we'll all be popcorn. But today, we can work, we can talk to him. We can be in touch with him, get to know him a little bit more, learn to be a little bit more like him. Some people will never receive the message of the gospel. They will always be unpopped kernels. What's holding you back? What is it in your life that's preventing you from growing more into the image of Christ? As we open these altars, come, talk to God. Be open with him. He knows our inmost being. He knows who we are. He knows you and loves you. He doesn't want to wipe out who you are or what makes you unique. He wants to use your talents and your abilities and your passions in his kingdom. He wants to grow things in you. So come and talk to him about that. Talk to him about who he's calling you to be. Are you willing to become more like him?
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.